I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike. Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What do you want to talk about today, Mike?
I thought today we could talk about foot care on the trail. Not foot wear, but foot care.
Foot care with a C.
With a C. Taking care of your feet while you're out on the trail. I also did a little bit of research on pre and post hike foot care as well, just to help prevent any issues while you're out there. So,
okay, good. Well, because my note taking, I wound up taking some notes on foot wear.
Oh,
because to me, well
here's my thought. It goes hand in hand.
Care goes with foot wear. Mm-hmm. So mine touches on a little bit of both, which, like, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on footwear, because, like, we had a whole episode about socks. We had a whole episode about boots.
Right.
So I don't want to get, like, too deep in the weeds on that with my conversation. But, like, everything did kind of overlap as far as all the stuff I was looking in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the proper footwear is probably one of the best ways to take care of your feet. So, I mean, you're not wrong. it's just that there are other things that go hand in hand, or right, that go along with foot care as well. So
for sure, like when this topic first came up, I really didn't think that I was going to be talking about, like, shoes and socks much. Like, my immediate go-to was, like, powder and tape and bandages, right, and, like, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm.
That's all but part then, of it.
You know, as you start reading, yeah, like, you know, so a little bit of both.
So, how should we get started on this one? I guess, maybe we'll start with some pre-hike. We'll kind of go start before your actual hiking. Do you have anything for that, or what are your thoughts? I see your,
I know here's what my thought is, like, before we even dive into that,
sure,
I wanted to touch on, like, why it's important. Like, why does this even matter, right? Like, why is this even a topic that we're talking
well,
about?
Well, I mean, realistically, your feet are your engine. Like, it's like the engine of your car. If you don't take care of it, it's not going to run very long. So if you don't take care of your feet, you're not going to be going very far.
Well, right. Yes. Very, very well put. Mine has a lot more words to it, but basically says the same thing. I mean, like, because for me, I'm like, well, why are your feet important? Because they, like, I mean, I guess you kind of said it. They literally drive the whole hike, right? Like, I mean, you can't really do much hiking,
right,
if your feet are all busted up.
Right. Now, I don't want to be ableist and everything. I'm sure, like, there are people that don't have all of their limbs, things of that nature, and they find ways to do it, and I'm very happy that that is the case. But
yeah. I don't personally have any experience with that. You are 100% correct, and yeah, I guess we should be careful a little bit on how we talk about this. So this is very much from the perspective of you and I and our experience out on the trail. You and I are both able-bodied people.
Right.
Both have both of our feet.
Right.
And as such, taking care of these pieces of meat at the bottom of our legs, important.
Right.
Now, I would assume somebody with prosthetics, I have no experience, I can't speak,
right, but, like, I'm sure there's care that goes along with that to avoid blisters and all that kind of stuff too.
100%.
Yeah,
I can't speak to that,
right,
because, like, I don't have any firsthand knowledge,
right,
you know what I mean?
That's, like, a different podcast.
That is kind of a different podcast, and I am sure there are, like, for, like, the feet of those types of things,
yeah,
like, all sorts of different maintenance things that, like,
oh, yeah,
you and I are not the experts there. We're not diving into that.
Right. just a little CYA right there. We're not intending to offend anybody, anything like that.
This is Mike and I knowing that we are not the experts. Right. And if somebody is listening that is an expert about that and would like to share, by all means, we would love to talk
Absolutely.
To you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that's not our experience. That's not what we're talking about today.
Right. So, well, I guess you can continue. You had a little bit more, but like you said, your feet are your engine that are getting you there.
Well, and just basically, like, if you don't take care of them, it is going to ruin your hike. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, blisters or infection, if it happens to get that bad, right. or like any of the things that come with not properly maintaining your feet out on the trail, really, it can ruin your trip. It can cut your trip short. So, like, proper foot maintenance really is the key for having a good, successful hike. Yeah. So, that's kind of like my why, and then let's get into your
okay
where you were going.
So the pre-hike stuff is like leading up to some things that beginners, and we fortunately did this. It wasn't necessarily intentional, but we did do our practice hikes and everything with our new boots. They were shorter distances, yeah. things like that. But you want to break in your boots. You don't want to take a brand new pair of boots out on the trail for a multi-day and many mile trek when they're brand new and not broken in. Your feet need to be used to them. You need to know that you're not rubbing in places. You need to know that you're not sliding, things of that yeah. nature. So that's what's going to cause your issues. So,
well, I'll be honest with you though, mine was intentional. Like, okay. I know we were doing like the practice hikes and stuff, but part of my wanting to do those practice hikes before we got started was to break in my new boots. That for me came back from like my high school, many, many years ago, high school days when I would run cross country. Like,
yeah,
of just knowing like you never want to like have a meet and a brand new pair of running shoes.
Right.
Similarly, when we got to do our hiking stuff, I'm like, oh, I need to go break in these hiking boots. Like, you don't want to go wear them for the first time out on the trail.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was going to say same thing with like running shoes, things of that nature. So, yeah. But yeah, that's the number one is just make sure they're broken in and you know that they're the right boot for you or shoe or whatever your footwear.
Yeah.
Another one that I subconsciously take care of, but is make sure you trim your nails, your toenails. You don't want too long of nails. You don't want too short of nails. And I don't know, I've always done curved, but it says to do straight across on your toes, like to avoid preventing ingrown nails and bruising and toe pain. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't come across that specifically.
Yeah.
Here's Sean's tip.
Okay.
This is not the time to be trying something new.
Oh, right. Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're a beginner, trim your nails the way you've trimmed them.
Right.
Like, because, okay, so, like, that advice that you're giving, I'm not going to say it's wrong.
Right.
I feel like for a beginner, for yeah. somebody going out for, like, a couple day hike to start out, I mean, unless you're planning on doing end-to-end Appalachian Trail for your first hike, I wouldn't get too deep with that. Like, just do what you're comfortable with, but make sure that your nails are maintained.
Right. Yeah, you don't want them, like, protruding so far that, like, they're hitting the edge of your sock instead of your sock going to your toe.
Right.
So.
Right.
Another thing is to moisturize. This is something that I haven't done. I'm not much of a skincare routinist person.
Right.
So my research is saying that at least the week before your trip, you should moisturize your feet with a light lotion. Don't do too much because over moisturizing can cause blister prone skin conditions. And, but it says to lightly lotion your feet the week before and not the morning of. Like if you do it the morning of, you're trapping that extra moisture in right before you put your sock on and then put it right in your boot. So that's one thing. Like I said, I've never really done that. I shouldn't say this, but I am not really prone to blisters on my feet. So I haven't really needed to really change my routine up much. But if you find that you're getting blisters or that your feet are cracking, because that's another reason why they say to moisturize too, is it prevents cracking. Like if your feet dry out real easily or anything, then it helps prevent your feet from cracking, your heels and things like that. So, I don't know. You're more prone to blisters than I am.
I am more prone to blisters. You're right. And I know, and I'm listening to you talk about this, and I'm also not like a moisturizer guy. Like,
right.
That's just, I don't have one of these like skincare routines where I'm, you know, I probably should because I'm getting up there in age and, you know, preventing wrinkles and all that is a real thing. But like, I'm just not. Like, I don't have that as part of my everyday routine.
Right.
Hiking wise or not hiking wise. Like, I just, it's just not part of my thing. I don't know. I don't run into a problem, me personally, for sure, with my feet drying out. Like, that is not an issue that I run into. Yep. So, like, that... now, again, you and I are not going on, like, weeks and weeks and weeks long trips either.
Right.
We're going for, like, a weekend warrior type trip, right?
Yeah.
If we were going for some of these longer ones or that started becoming an issue, I think that's a great tip. I'm not in a point right now where I feel like I want to really change my routine for my feet because the drying out and cracking stuff, that's not the issues that I have. Now, I hear you're saying, like, it can help with blisters, but where I get blisters, largely it's, like, between the toes.
Yeah.
Which some of the other tips that we're going to get into specifically address that.
Okay, yep.
So I still don't know as though...
The moisturizing is what's going to help you.
The moisturizing is what I need for the condition that I have.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't have anything else on moisturizing. Like I said, I'm not a skincare person, but I mean, if it's something that you feel you could use, listener, then maybe look into different foot specific or hiking specific type moisturizers that might help.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're saying, like a light moisturizer, right. Not something super
thick.
or
heavy. I guess if you're going light, then right. Yeah, not heavy. And then one of the outside of the choosing the right footwear is then choosing the right sock for that footwear and your feet.
Right.
What I'm reading and what we have always done, we've gone strictly with just hiking socks, which are always a wool or some kind of a synthetic material. You want to stay away from your everyday run-of-the-mill cotton socks. Those just right. Soak up your sweat, just hold the moisture, and then you're just asking for blisters with that.
And this is where some of like my crossover stuff that I was talking about came in.
Right.
Like, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds because we do have a whole episode about socks. You, listener, can go back and listen to that if you want. I'll put a link to it on the website. But like Mike is saying, you don't want your, like, cotton athletic socks.
Right.
Because cotton, as we know, holds on to moisture, mm-hmm. which causes friction, which causes blisters, which causes an awful time. So you're going to want more of your, like, either your synthetic or your merino wool. Mike and I both have a preference for merino wool as far as our hiking socks go.
Yep.
I have found those to be the best. And full disclosure, I have worn the regular cotton athletic socks, and that is where the worst of right. my foot conditions came from.
I was going to say, our first few trips, or at least I know our first trip, you wore just run-of-the-mill, everyday store brand or store bought socks, and all our store bought, but
I mean, to be honest, because hiking socks are expensive.
Well,
I mean, that was my whole thing is, you know, we're buying all this stuff and I'm like, I've got socks. I don't need new socks, you know, and hiking socks are expensive, but total game changer. Once I switch to the merino wool, I don't get nearly the blisters. Yep. I don't have nearly the problems. And then with the merino wool, I mean, just to kind of recap that conversation very briefly for the whole episode that we had about it, but like the whole thing is they're moisture wicking, they help regulate temperature, and therefore they are blister reducing. They're also like antimicrobial, if I'm saying that correctly. So like lots of good stuff with merino wool. If it is within your budget to get a couple of good pair of hiking socks, yeah, highly recommend. They do make synthetic ones too, which have many of the same properties as the merino wool. For my money, I would just go for the merino wool.
Yeah, for sure.
If you, you know, don't want the merino wool or you want a synthetic, synthetic socks are a choice.
Yep.
Do largely similar things that the merino wool ones do.
Yeah.
Just stay away from the, like, the straight up cotton.
And if price is an issue with you, if you know you're planning on a trip next year, your first trip or anything like that, then right now is the time to be looking.
Yeah.
We've got the holiday sales and all that kind of stuff coming up. And also it's off season for a lot of the country. So
yep,
you'll be able to find 2025's end of stock sale. And then,
yep,
the material doesn't change. It's just the design and the whatever. So,
right. And then I guess the other thing that I just real quick to mention about socks, the other really important thing to mention is make sure that you get proper fitting socks.
Right.
Because if you get them too big, well, then they're going to be loose. They're going to bunch up. They're going to cause some of that friction.
Yep.
That's a bad time sort of thing, situation happening altogether. If you get them too tight, they are going to create pressure points and then possibly some more toenail related issues. Mm-hmm. So not only do you want a good sock, you also want it to be proper fitting.
Yep. I will put a caveat on something that is an optional. I mean, it's all optional realistically, but the sock liners or liner socks. Mm-hmm. It's just another layer. It's like underwear for your feet. It's like your liner goes on, then your sock, and then your boot. It's a synthetic liner inside a wool sock, just reduces friction against your skin on the, yep, wool. So,
yep,
it's just another option that's out there. They're real lightweight, real soft. So, I mean, I have them. I used to wear them when we went skiing and things like that. So,
yep,
I take them with us, but I've never worn them out on the trail.
Well, and they can, how do I want to say this without getting too gross? Like, I know, so me personally,
we've talked about pooping in the woods. You can get gross.
Okay. Okay. I mean, for a lot of people, myself included, reusing a pair of socks, like after you've worn them once and haven't yet washed them,
yeah,
can be like a really gross concept.
Yeah.
Sock liners can make a pair of socks last longer because you could theoretically just swap out the liners and then,
yeah,
continue wearing the same pair of socks. Maybe for a whole day, maybe not multiple days, but like if you find in the middle of the day,
okay,
that your, yep, sock liners are getting gross, you could swap out just the liners and keep wearing those same socks for the remainder of the day.
So it reduces the ick.
Yes. Yes.
So that's all I had in my notes for pre-hike foot prep is just choosing the right socks, the right liners if you're going that way. Breaking in your footwear, moisturized if that's something you're into, and then make sure your nails are trimmed. So,
all right. So then let's talk about like while you're actually out there doing the thing.
Right. So while you're out on the trail, the number one thing that I can find is doing your best to keep your feet dry. Moisture and friction equals blisters. So, if you keep your feet dry, you're better off. Like Sean was just mentioning with the sock liners, if you have sweaty feet, or you get your, if you don't have waterproof boots on, or the water goes over your boot, you want to change your socks midday just to help with that moisture issue. If you want to rewear those socks the next day or anything like that, take a little paracord or something, hang them on your pack or next to the fire, dry them out, make sure that they're dry before you put them back on. And then we always take a little bit of foot powder. Yep. You mentioned some that gold, earlier too. So
not a sponsor, Bond medicated powder.
So just before you put, if your feet were wet, sprinkle some foot powder on before you put another pair of socks on, just so that
helps dry your feet out, absorb that moisture. I'm pretty sure Gold Bond has some like antifungal in it as well, which is good, especially if you're the type of person prone to like athlete's foot or something like that. Helps having a dry foot helps reduce friction inside your boot, so like that's why it's so important. But we take a little, I got a little salt shaker that I stick in my pack. I just fill it up with some Gold Bond, so you don't got to take a big old thing of Gold Bond out there with you.
Yeah. Just got to remember that it's foot powder when you're making your meals.
Right.
And then if you're taking a break and you're like, you're not at camp, if you're taking a break and you're changing your socks out, perfect time to, you got your boot off anyway, got your socks off anyway. Let the dogs air out and just breathe for a bit, dry off, and go. Just try to keep your boots and your socks as dry as possible when you're if you're out in the middle of your hike.
Yep. And if needed, swap your socks out.
Absolutely.
If you're taking that break or your feet are starting to get uncomfortable and you're noticing that your socks are sweaty and starting to rub and all that sort of stuff, like, you know, swap your socks out if you have to. Like, it's okay to swap socks in the middle of the day.
If the reason that you're taking your break is because you're noticing hot spots or you're noticing your feet are starting to ache or anything like that, that's your feet telling you a blister is coming or something's not right, whatever, stop, take your shoe off or boot, take your sock off, inspect it, get your foot powder out. If you see the start of a blister, grab some tape, grab a Band-Aid.
Okay, let's talk about that, because I don't want to like totally skip over this. So let's talk about like what your options are, because like this is the thing. Right. This is where Sean screwed up on the first couple of trips, because remember, I had those junky cotton socks, but I had warning signs that I was getting blisters. I didn't have blisters yet, but I had warning signs that, like, hey, something's not right. I should have stopped and taken care of something in the middle of the day, not waited until the end of the day, and that's, okay, now it's too late, right?
Right.
So what are the options? Like, you're starting to feel like something's rubbing. What are your options? Because there's several different things you could do.
Right.
You mentioned Band-Aid. Band-Aid's an easy one.
Yeah.
Maybe not 100% the best option.
Probably not.
But it's probably the easiest one. It's probably something you've already got in your first aid kit.
Right.
You know, if you can make a Band-Aid work, use a Band-Aid.
Yep.
If you happen to have other things, for example, one of the things Mike and I take is we do take athletic tape. Mm-hmm. Now, I like athletic tape. The problem with athletic tape, if I'm going to like find a downside for it, is it's thick. Like, athletic tape is a thick option.
Yeah.
So depending on where you're getting your blister at, let's say it's between your toes and you're going to wrap one of your toes in athletic tape. Well, okay. Now are you making like a thicker thing to rub on your other toe that's next to it? That's potentially going to cause a different issue. Or you theoretically could possibly buddy tape your toes together, like taping two toes together. Mm-hmm. again, athletic tape is an option, but again, it's going to be thick. And then what other toes are you now rubbing up against?
Yeah. So one of the big pros of athletic tape over Band-Aids is unless you get the really, really good Band-Aids, they tend to come off with moisture. And if you're already having an issue with moisture, then the athletic tape is the way to go. Now, right. Usually you can find it in like a 1-inch or a 2-inch or a 3-inch roll. Just grab the 1-inch. And if you want to, if you have the ability to, cut the sucker in half to a 1/2 inch. And then that's less weight, less space in your pack. Yep. Otherwise, a 1-inch isn't that bad. And you can even unroll it and re-ravel it into a smaller roll and take less of it. You only realistically need about 1 to 1.5 feet because your feet aren't that big. I'll speak for myself. My feet aren't that big. So, like, you really don't need that much tape. You don't need the full roll that might have 25 or 50 feet. Unravel a roll of it or 1 foot of it and re-roll it back up against itself. It'll still be sticky enough for your foot. You don't need to take the whole roll.
Right.
Another option is moleskin. I didn't have time to really research what moleskin is. I feel like that's just one of those little circular skin patches type of a thing. It almost looks like skin that sticks to you.
So I did do a little bit of research on this, not a lot. And again, moleskin, not a sponsor, although moleskin, if you're out there and you would like to sponsor, feel free to reach out to us, SeanMikeHike@gmail.com.
Shameless.
But it comes in a lot of different shapes and sizes. Like you can get it in a roll, just like you can get athletic tape in a roll.
Okay.
Or you can get different, you know, specialty shape pieces or whatever. For my money, I think if you're going to bother, I'd probably just get the roll and then take some sort of multi-tool with you to cut it into a shape if you needed it.
Fair enough.
To be in a shape. But you're right. I mean, it's quote unquote skin colored. It's a lot to me like an athletic tape, but more breathable. So still kind of thick and bulky, but it's like water resistant in the same way that like athletic tape is. It's specifically marketed, from my understanding, as a way to prevent blisters. So I don't know what it's made up of. It's, I'm sure, made out of something. But it's like an athletic tape, just more specifically for blisters and a little bit more breathable.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, athletic tape is meant for multiple different, has many different purposes and stuff. Right. So, gotcha.
And then there's, I don't know if you came across this one. So, like, there's even a better option than moleskin, supposedly. I do not personally have any experience with this, but I am sure everybody has seen it. It's something called Leukotape. Mm-hmm. It's that stuff that you see people wearing in, like, sports videos and stuff where they've got, like,
their shoulders wrapped up, or
their, like, knee taped up in some way. That is supposedly the best option.
Yeah. Because it's also the most expensive.
Yes. That's the downside. But, like, you know, if your wallet allows and you want something specifically to take care of this situation, that supposedly is the best option.
Not that, I mean, we could have a completely other episode for this, but the upside of taking a full roll of athletic tape or Leukotape with you is it's not just for blisters. It's not just for helping your feet.
True.
If you feel like you've got like a torn muscle or you got soreness somewhere, taping it up can help. Research how to do that before you just start doing it, because you can do damage for that, but it has multiple purposes. So that's one thing to think about when you're taking that kind of equipment.
But so any of these tapes, if you're going to try to, like, you know, prevent this blister from getting any worse, prevent this hot spot from turning into a blister, what are you going to want to do? So you're going to want to clean and dry the area where this, like, hot spot is. You're going to want to apply the tape in a way that you're not like folding the skin or stretching it too tight. Right. So like just like relaxed skin, but you want to make sure there's no like wrinkles underneath there. Because if you get wrinkles underneath that tape, that's going to create like friction between the two pieces of skin.
Yep.
So like, you know, so nice and flat, but not tight.
Yeah.
And then
that makes sense.
You're going to want to, if you've got like some way to cut this stuff, which supposedly I'm hoping you do, some sort of scissors, some sort of knife, something, to the best of your ability, round the corners of the tape. That's going to help prevent it from like peeling back while it's in your boot. And then that's going to cause other problems if it starts peeling back. So like round the corners to the best of your ability.
Never thought of that. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
The rounding the corners.
The other tip that I saw on the internet, and I did not write down where I saw this tip, so I apologize. If you are the person on the internet that I found this on, I apologize for not crediting you. But one of the things they said you could do if you don't want to take a whole roll of this stuff is you can cut some small strips of any of these tapes and then just stick that on some wax paper and then tuck it in your first aid kit. And that way you're not taking a whole roll of something if you don't feel like you're going to need a whole roll.
The rolls aren't the wax that paper big. Thing. That's good, yeah.
It is good, but the rolls aren't that big. And I feel like, is it really saving that much? I don't know. Right.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good tip worth sharing. I'm not sure if I would personally use that tip, but if somebody's trying to be an ultralighter or trying to save as much space as they possibly can, I thought it was a pretty good tip.
Yeah. Here's a question for you, Sean, from Mike. If the only thing you have is duct tape, would you use that?
It's a good question. I don't think I would use it as my first choice.
Right. But if that, like, if you're out of Band-Aids, you don't have any athletic tape or Leuco tape, you're all out of Moleskine.
I think I would try first, me personally, not a doctor, not a scientist. Me personally, I would try drying my feet off, using some foot powder, and changing my socks before I would go to the duct tape.
Yeah.
Just because duct tape isn't meant for that, it really doesn't have, in my opinion, it doesn't really have enough give to work well. And I think it would wind up getting bunched up on my feet in a way that would probably make problems worse in the long run. Plus, it's so sticky and going to make everything else in my boot sticky. I don't think I would.
Fair. Okay. I was just thinking, like, so like in the past, that's the only tape we've had. So fortunately, we didn't really have issues on those trips. Right. But I was thinking the same thing. Like, I would probably do my best to dry my feet and change socks, dry my boots, things like that. Duct tape isn't a medical tape. There's a reason it's not in emergency rooms.
Right. So, lots of good uses for duct tape. I don't think this is one that I would use it for.
So,
before we move on,
okay,
do you want to take a quick break and have a word from our sponsors?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. where did you want to go from here?
Well, I was just going to bring something up that isn't necessarily anything you can really avoid, is just watching your terrain out on the trail. You can't change, like, oh, I'm coming up to a soft sandy patch. I want it to be harder and rockier or whatever, and then poof, it changes. You're coming up to that soft sandy patch anyway, just like uphills, downhills, roots, things like that. All of that kind of stuff changes the way you position your feet on the ground, which changes how your foot moves in your boot or shoe or whatever your footwear is. So this is where my research took me to Sean's favorite topic, trekking poles.
Okay.
that if you are starting to have issues with your feet, the trekking poles can help alleviate some of the pain by taking some of the weight off of your foot or changing how you're going to step onto the terrain because you have actually a third balance point.
I'm on board that. with that, actually.
So that's where, depending on where you're going, if you know the trail or not, having the, even if you just take them and strap them to your pack, then it's not the worst idea for that. So this is, I think, the one time, mark it here, episode number whatever, 50, where I have something positive to say about trekking poles. So that is something that my research did take me to with that. It can help you with a damaged foot. Like if you've already starting to experience blisters and you want to walk a little bit more gingerly on that foot.
Okay. So I'm on board with that for sure. Okay. So you kind of got to my next topic, but my next thing that I wanted to talk about is, okay, you've got a blister out on the trail. Mm-hmm. Now what?
Well, now what is, well, okay, you want to inspect it. Is it intact or has it popped?
100%. Exactly. Thank you for saying that. I was hoping you were going to say that because, yes, that huge distinction, though, right?
Absolutely.
So, like, you've either got one that's still what I would consider a blister or you've got one that's a popped blister.
Right.
Two completely different things. Depending on what situation you've got.
So, if it's intact and it's not too big, you want to clean the area and then cover it with tape or donut-shaped moleskin.
Yep.
Which I think the donut-shaped moleskin, meaning it has a hole in the middle of it, which is for the unpopped part of the blister.
Right.
So you wrap the unpopped part, basically, right?
Yeah. Like, have you ever seen those commercials for, like, the Dr. Scholl's, not a sponsor, like, corn pads?
Corn pads or wart pads or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think, these don't have, like, the pad part.
Right.
But same concept.
Where the pad is, it would be just nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're basically preventing the blister from getting bigger?
That's my understanding. Yes. Yeah. Is you're like trying to stop it from getting worse.
Right.
And trying to stop it from popping.
Right. Now, if it's large and painful or it's already burst. Well, let's start with this. If it's large and painful, my research says if you have a needle, you want to sterilize it if you have alcohol or wipes or anything like that. If you don't have alcohol wipes and you have a lighter or some matches, you can heat it up. Mm-hmm. But make sure you cool it down first.
Yeah. I think.
and then you want to, I don't believe you have to put a big hole in it. You just need to put a hole big enough so the fluid can drain.
You need to put a hole big enough for the fluid to drain. And again, I want to make sure that we're clear on this. This is only if you need to. Like, preferably, don't pop it.
Right, right. If it's too large.
If it is so big and painful that it is interfering with your ability to walk, this is a secondary option to be used if needed.
Right.
But yes, you can put a tiny, as small as possible hole in it, not in the middle of it, not on the top of it,
towards the edge,
to the edge as possible.
And then you press the fluid out as gingerly and slowly as possible. You're not popping a pimple. You're not bursting this thing as softly, gingerly as possible. Let the fluid drain out. And then want to sterilize antibiotic ointment, anything like that.
Yeah.
And then your tape or your Band-Aid or...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Very important that if you are going to do that, you keep it clean. Because, like, If you don't, that's where infection starts, and that's a whole other thing.
At this point, you now have an open wound on your foot, and your foot is one of the dirtiest things when you're hiking. So you have to keep that clean. Every time you stop, take your boot and your sock off, undo that bandage, inspect it, clean it, re-wrap it.
This is one of those scenarios where you are going to probably need to use some of your cleaned water. Go just like dip it in some dirty ass river.
Right.
Like, you're going to need to use some of your clean water. If you've got soap, use some soap. If you've got antibiotic ointment, put that on there. And then for the remainder of your trip, you're going to need to keep it clean on the regular.
Right. Yeah, we're all into the outdoors. That's why we're all into hiking. We've all seen those shows, River Monsters and all that crap. There's shit in the water that can get into your foot at that point that you don't want.
Right.
I have a friend that wasn't even out hiking or anything, and he got a flesh-eating bacteria. Just happens. So
Turns out that's real, not made for TV.
Right.
Real stuff.
So, if it's already popped, and so you take your boot off, you're like, let's inspect this. You're like, oh crap, it's already popped. Well, same thing, clean it, all that stuff. But those socks are toast. Like, you're not putting those socks back on during that trip. You are changing those socks and using different socks the remainder of your trip. Not saying you can't take them home and wash them. I'm just saying they've already got too much bacteria in them to think about putting back on.
Likely. Right. Yeah. Better safe than sorry in this situation. Yep. But get your feet out. Get it cleaned. If you've got an alcohol wipe, as much as it's probably going to burn like a son of a gun, you could use that theoretically. Use some of your clean water. And then antibiotic ointment, cover it, secure it, keep an eye on it for the remainder of your trip.
And like we mentioned, if it's not popped and it's not overly big, like if you know that the next step you're going to take is going to put too much pressure on it and it's going to pop it, then you might as well take care of it the clean way. But if you can, covering it is going to be far less painful than popping it. That's just, I know everybody's first instinct is, if I just pop this, drain it, it's going to be way better. It's not. I've never understood the science behind it, but I've done both ways, and the non-popped one fares better than the popped one. So
Yeah, I don't understand the science behind it either. Maybe we should have checked with like a medical professional, but literally everything you read says don't pop it unless absolutely necessary. So
And other people have already done this research. I mean, there's reasons why we know some mushrooms are poisonous and some aren't. Like, somebody ate them and died, and somebody ate them and didn't. So, that's all I've got as far as.
I got one more thing specifically for this, and it really kind of is the whole episode. But basically, if you get blisters, know when to know enough is enough. So, like, if you have any signs of infection whatsoever with your blister situation, you don't need to be like losing your foot over this, right? If you got infection, that's the best time to say, okay, we need to be done.
Nobody's gonna think you're awesome and a hero if you catch gangrene out on the trip, but just so you could finish your last 13 miles or whatever.
Right? Yeah. Like if you're getting an infection,
yeah. How'd you lose your foot?
Off.
That's not the story that women want to hear in the bar.
Right.
So that's all I've got for like during your trip, your trek. Yep. So. This is still during your trip per se, but once you get to camp.
Yes, that's where I was going to go next. Yep.
So this is where Sean and I take a pair of slides or some Crocs or any kind of like lightweight footwear that doesn't take up too much space in your pack that you can put on that's comfortable at camp that gets your foot out of your boot and allows you to dry off. Whether it's something you're leaving your socks on or not, if your foot is allowed to breathe once you're at camp. This is with or without a blister. This is just when you get to camp. This is just
like good hygiene once you get to camp.
Yep. Get your foot into something softer and more breathable than your hiking footwear.
Yes.
So if you have the means, and especially if you have a blister, wash your feet. Like, don't just leave them. Like I said, I'm not prone to blisters. We haven't had many of these issues out there, so this isn't a step that we have taken, but I would like to think that if we had blisters, then we'd be using some of our clean water and some alcohol wipes to be clean.
I have certainly washed my feet at the end of the day, like with some, we'll go and get our water, we'll filter it, I'll put some into a water bottle, and then I will get out of my boots, get out of my socks. If my feet are super grody, super sweaty, got some dirt in there, like I will take like a spare t-shirt if I have one, maybe even one from yesterday, which I know is not super clean, but and then go away from camp, away from the water source, sit down on a log, little tiny bit of water, wipe down my feet, like get them clean, and then let them air out.
Yeah, and I forget too that I do take my packet of like dude wipes or dude shower things. Like, so I do wash my feet. It's just not like a as soon as I get to camp type of a thing, but it's something that we do. But yeah, especially if you have something on your foot that you're actively taking care of, that's one of your first things you want to do, is get your foot out of your boot and wipe and change your sock or let it air out, anything like that.
And if you're going during a time of the year where maybe you can't be without socks around camp, I do not think it would hurt to take a specific at camp pair of socks.
This would be a cheap pair of just your everyday little Hanes or Fruit of the Loom, whatever, cotton socks. This is where you're back to just everyday living kind of a thing, just out in the woods.
Right. So, but like have that clean, dry pair to get your feet into. This is not like put back on your grody ones that you've been wearing all day at this point. This is when you want a nice, clean, dry pair to let your feet do some recovery while you're at camp, while you're not walking around.
Right. On that note, another thing is if you're at a place where you can have a fire, then keeping your feet warm at night is optimal. So if you don't like to sleep in socks, I particularly hate sleeping in socks. So another way to help keep your feet warm at night is would be to take your water bottle, set it next to the fire, let it warm up a little bit.
Yeah.
And put that on or in your sleeping bag or quilt, and that'll help keep that part of your sleeping bag warm.
Yeah.
So warm feet are happy feet when you're at night. Cold feet, you'll just be miserable if you have cold feet.
For sure. The other thing that I like to do personally, like especially once we get to camp and camp is set up and like you've got a little bit of time to relax, I really like and firmly believe in elevating your feet.
Oh, yeah.
Like have them, if you've got a log, you can prop them up on. Mm-hmm. If you've got, you know, if you're in somewhere that happens to have like a table or something, if you've got a way to prop your feet up a bit, that really is going to help. In my opinion, that really helps having them elevated. So
yeah,
I don't know the science behind it, but for me, it seems to help with the swelling and all that sort of stuff. And it just makes them feel so much better. So I'm a firm believer in that.
Yeah. And then one last thing for the while you're at camp type of a thing that I have is letting your boots completely dry. Whether that's if they got really wet from going in and out of like a water crossing or it's raining or anything like that, set them next to the fire if you're able to have one. Okay, so while you have your feet up, take your boots off. If especially like if you had a water crossing or anything where your boots are soaked and or saturated with water, this is definitely a key step. But just all in all, if you're got your you're kicking back and you've got your feet up, if you have a fire going, like I said with the water bottle thing, put your boots next to the fire, help them dry out.
Yeah.
Even if they're not saturated, it just helps take any moisture out of them.
Get them as dry as humanly possible.
Yes. Exactly. The other thing that I have never done, but my research, everything I said, remove your insoles. Remove the insoles from your boots. And that way, anything that's underneath your insole can dry. And your insole can completely dry out. And then you just pop it back in. No harm, no foul. I don't know. Like, I've never done it, but if your boot is really, really wet, probably a good step to take, just so you're not trapping any moisture underneath. Because moisture is back, like that's bacteria. That's.
I am sure you're not wrong. I have literally never thought of doing that.
I haven't either. So, if it's just a day of hiking, you didn't have any water crossings, it's not raining, anything like that, you're probably okay to leave your insoles in.
Yeah.
But if your boot is really saturated, probably a good idea to remove your insoles. I think
it's a good thing that literally has never crossed my mind.
Right. Same. So, but yeah, that's all I have as far as my notes for while you're at camp. I lied at the beginning when I said a post foot care regimen because my notes don't have that. I would say it'd be the same as your pre, like moisturize, take care of your feet, things like that. But there's nothing specific.
I think it's all the same things. It's dry your feet out. It's, you know, take care of your feet, give them a little TLC once you get back to camp. I mean, it's kind of the same as before, just after and during.
right. Yeah. So, I guess as a little bit of a wrap up, Sean, why don't we go through a list of things that we mentioned throughout the episode, but just a quick little list of things that you might want to take for foot care.
Okay.
With you. So
worn in boots, not brand new boots.
Right.
Good quality hiking socks.
Yep. You're going to want bandages or Leuco tape, sports wrap.
Some sort of
something along those
tape. Yep. Sock liners, possibly.
Possibly. Foot powder.
Foot powder, I'm a yes. 100% yes. Yep. Easy thing to take, 100%.
Spare socks. I know that's kind of just a given, especially in our sock episode. Take a spare pair of socks in case.
Yep.
And then if you don't have a knife with a fine point, then bring a little safety pin or a sewing needle, something that if you do get a blister and you do choose or need to drain it, then you've got something with a fine point that will pop it. So,
and I'm going to say, in addition to that, some sort of antibacterial ointment. I mean, listen to our first aid episode to learn about all the things that we want in your first aid kit, but like some sort of antibacterial ointment and some sort of like cleaning agent, whether that be soap, whether that be hand sanitizer, like alcohol wipes,
or something.
Some sort of cleaning something.
Yeah. Good idea for pre-hike foot care is go to your favorite barbecue place and grab all the wet wipes.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got. That's just a quick list if you are looking for ideas or things to take with you. Here's one other thing that I found is that what some people do is instead of taking the full roll of Leukotape, like I said, you just take like 1 or 2 feet of it. Some people just wrap it right around their trekking pole, and then it's wrapped right around itself again around your trekking pole.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yep. So another positive for trekking poles.
There you go. The only other like closing thought that I wanted to have before we kind of wrap up like we normally do is I just want to like be perfectly clear. New hikers have feet issues. Experienced hiker have feet
for
issues.
Sure.
Like feet issues are going to happen. Like even if you're like a very experienced hiker, maybe you get a new pair of boots. Maybe you get a new pair of socks. Maybe the conditions are just different on this trail than what you're used to. Like people have foot issues. Like this is not a, this is not a time to feel bad about yourself. If you're out there, you got blisters, like, oh, I didn't prepare enough or whatever. Like it literally these things just happen. Right. So
professional athletes still get injured.
Yeah. Little bit of knowledge goes a long way. Prevention is the key, but like they're gonna happen. So be prepared to the best of your ability, but know like you're not a failure if you wind up with blisters.
Yeah. And you and I are guilty of this too. If you do feel that you're starting to get a blister, we've all said it like, oh man, I'm getting a blister. It's going to be bad or whatever. Okay. If those words cross your mind or leave your mouth,
stop and take care of it. And you are absolutely right, Mike. You and I are guilty of this.
Yep.
100%. Like, I can make it. It'll be fine.
Yep. Oh, we've only got 2 more miles. I can. Right. It'll all be fine.
It is rarely fine.
Two miles is 10,000 feet, like, or 11,000 feet, like, whatever. It's a long distance.
Right.
So.
Right.
Take care of yourself, and because if you don't, and you get to camp, and then next thing you know, you've got a hike-ending blister. I mean, depending if you're doing a loop and out and back or whatever, you're going to be shortening your trip or making it a miserable trip.
Right. Right.
So.
All right. Well, if anybody else has thoughts about foot care, did Mike and I forget to mention something? Did we not spend enough time on something? Do you have a different type of tape that Mike and I don't know about that you'd like to recommend? Feel free to reach out to us. You can reach us on most of the major socials at Sean Mike Hike. You can reach us on our email, which is SeanMikeHike@gmail.com, or always directly on our website, SeanMikeHike.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this episode. And until next time, go take a hike.
Go take a hike and take care of your feet.
There you go. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
See ya.